So there was this man standing before me, his name Reza Safa, former Shiite radical Muslim. Now here's a man that in the story of his life, there's a book, Inside Islam by Reza Safa. Now, I had this man flown into our area. We had set up numerous places, including Kent State University, for him to speak. It was all about evangelism. And I was pretty intrigued because of my engagement with some of the Muslims from the University of Akron. As we went out that week when Reza Safa came into this area, we were out witnessing all over the place. And we were in an area, there's a church called the House of the Lord. And standing in front of the House of the Lord was a black man. Now, again, this was different. This was Islam here in the United States, a different form of it. But nevertheless, I stopped to engage the man and witness, and we talked for quite a while. Reza Safa spoke at different places, spoke at our church. I listened to him. I watched him. I saw a great man of God. I saw a person who had the beauty and the power and the love of the living Christ dwelling in him. I saw a man that did not fear, but did testify that when he was a Muslim, when he was considering turning to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the great fear was in leaving Allah, in leaving Islam. He understood that this would mean the rejection by his family, the possible killing or slaughtering of his life. You see, in some of those lands, you and I both know you're not allowed to get saved. You're not allowed to turn to Christ. You're not allowed to get baptized. In the lands where the territory is controlled by an ancient territorial spirit, well, that presence has locked itself in to the law, forming the religion, and literally gripping the region, the nations. And this entity has been there a long time. We're talking about Allah, the territorial spirit. We're going to talk tonight in this series that we are into right now. Light on the entity Allah, origins and attributes. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. Welcome everyone listening live everywhere. You have been in this hour, 6 p.m. on a August the 17th, 2010 evening. You've been prayed for. And as we do this prior to the show and during the earlier morning hour, we ask God to stretch out his hand in every direction. And notice, I don't have to bow down or point in a particular area. We're talking about God, infinite, immeasurable, omnipresent. We're not talking about a territorial spirit. You ever wonder why Muslims must face Mecca? Must point in that direction and even go there on pilgrimage? It has everything to do with the presence of an ancient and old dark territorial spirit. I want to welcome you to shatterthedarkness.net and Shatter the Darkness Live tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, and the website shatterthedarkness.net, that has the series. Monday night, last night, we did the one called Allah Was Never and Never Will Be God, and the reasons why. Tonight is Tuesday, and we're dealing with Allah's origin, a territorial spirit whose attributes are not God. And then at the 7 o'clock hour, as I'm a guest host, right after this show on Survive to Thrive, the radio network, we're going to be dealing with the title Allah Who Hides and Does Not Reveal Who or What It Is. Wednesday night, Allah, just shut up and submit. Do my will. It doesn't want to know you. Doesn't want you to know it. Thursday night's going to be a big night. Now, that's the day that the only way you can get this broadcast is to go to shatterthedarkness.net and click on where it says Thursday, August the 19th. Now, we're dealing Thursday night with Allah and the spirit of Antichrist, violence, fear, and conquest. I'll talk more about Reza Safa. And we're going to talk about the black stone and the satanic verses. Let me give you a little bit of an insight, or just a little teaser concerning Thursday night. The black stone out of the heavens, down on the earth. Why is it so sacred? Why is it a place where everybody is attracted? Could it be like when it comes to ancient territorial principalities and powers that the entity attaches to either the idols or an object as a point of contact? Could it be that the entity is connected to literally the black stone? And then on Friday night, we will deal with this title, The Prince of Persia. Remember, out of the book of Daniel? Well, he's never left. Is that Allah? Well, again, I say welcome to the thousands and thousands and thousands of you who are downloading the archives even later on during the week. So, listen, if we miss you live during the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, we're just simply glad. And you have been prayed for, too. And in the context of the providence of God, in the context of God's ability to grip, see, that's a great thing. That simply is a great thing to know that God is arranging. If you're a seeker, looking and seeking an answer, I'm just going to tell you that God is seeking you. There's nobody that wants you more, nobody that loves you more, and nobody that pursues you more. That's why I encourage all listeners this week, dig into the Gospel of Mark, the dynamic gospel. You want to see God, what God is really like? You want to see beyond theology books, the simplicity. There are in the Old Testament and New Testament great revelations of God. There are signs and wonders and miracles and angels. But the greatest revelation is Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. He's the Logos who became flesh. And he is called in Hebrews chapter 1 the exact representation of God, of his very being. He is the visible of the invisible. He is, as declared by the prophets, as announced by the angels of God, known and feared by the demons themselves, written in Scripture, God, literal God in human flesh. Now, that's the declaration. If you're trying to figure out if that's true, the best place to go is where the author of the book of God, the Bible, is always present, seeking you, wanting to guide you. And there's a verse in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul goes before Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And there he speaks about the origins of in creation, the fall of the human race, and Christ. And he says, now in history, God summons all people everywhere. So I want to say welcome to Muslims, welcome to Arabs, welcome to all those who are listening, maybe because of the information on our site. The goal here is simply to say this: God loves you. In Christ, there is no fear. God removes fear, and you can know God in a personal relationship and talk to God and have God's embrace and know what it is to listen to God, knowing also the gift of eternal life is deposited in you. This is the physics of God, man. This is the coming indestructible immortality that involves, listen, that involves the ability to see God face to face. Now, listen, that's why I'm saying go ahead and go to the Gospel of Mark and take a look. Go ahead and dig in. I would urge, by God's providence, any Arab, any Muslim from any nation, go to the Gospels themselves. They are the most attested to, based in history, archaeology, manuscript. They are the most attested to manuscripts in all of ancient history. Nothing compares to those writings. Nothing. Now, that's the facts. You can take a look at well, a little video called Evidence for the Bible. But tonight's emphasis is simply this: Allah and the origin and the issue of territorial spirits. Before we go there tonight, I want to mention a little bit of news. The bomber kills 61 Iraqis in a recruitment drive. And I'm quoting here from Associated Press writer Laura Jakes in a Associated Press release. Baghdad, quote, young men from some of Iraq's poorest areas waited all night outside an army recruitment center. Now, why they had to wait all night, I'm not sure, other than just getting there first. Listen, it goes on to say this: only to become easy prey for Tuesday, a homicidal bomber who killed 61 in the crowd. Desperate for jobs, dazed survivors rushed to get back in line after the attack. Continuing the quote, officials quickly blamed Al-Qaeda for the deadliest single act of violence in the capital in months. Police said 125 other people were wounded. Bodies of bloodied young men, some still clutching job applications in their hands. They're scattered on the ground outside the headquarters gates. Soldiers collected bits of flesh and stray hands and legs as frantic Iraqis showed up to search for relatives. The early morning bombing in central Baghdad starkly displayed Iraqi forces' failure to plug even the most obvious holes in their security 2 weeks before the formal end of the U.S. combat role in Iraq. Army and police recruitment centers have been frequent targets for militants, underscoring the determination of the applicants to risk their lives for work in a country with an unemployment rate estimated as high as 30%. Now, I read this article, and it is an outrage. It really is. You got Muslims slaughtering Muslims, Arabs slaughtering Arabs. This Muslim slaughtering others, not suicide bomber, homicide bomber, all over the world. In the Philippines, in Spain, in Chechnya, in London, in here, the attempts in the United States, South Africa, the Sudan. Has anybody forgot in the Sudan? I will never forget the video I saw of a young boy. He looked like he had been melted, but Muslims had come. And if you didn't turn to Allah, you were to be thrown into the fires or hacked with machetes, or women to have their breasts cut off. Does anybody understand the violence? And don't tell me that, as I've heard many others say, well, a few bad guys have hijacked a great peaceful religion. If you say it, you don't know what you're talking about. If you say it, you haven't read the history. If you say it, you're keeping yourself blinded to what's happening worldwide. You don't understand Muhammad. You don't understand the violence. You don't understand the Quran. You can read the Quran yourself. It talks about beheading those who are infidels, cutting off the fingertips. It talks about the violence in their quest to dominate the world. Do you understand the will of Allah? Do you understand the Quran as a spiritually inspired, but not by God, book? So this is a sad thing. It's a sad day that young men wanting a job in a poor area in a nation. It is really a violent, violent Middle East, isn't it? Very violent. Biblically prophesied, only to get worse. Because peace, well, has been rejected. The Prince of Peace. See, Jesus Christ, 700 years prior to his visible appearance here, he's called out of the book of Isaiah the Prince of Peace. Oh, he is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. See, for Muslims listening right now, you know that Allah is not a father. As a matter of fact, in the 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to go over the issues of that Allah is unknowable, non-spiritual, non-personal. Here in the 6 o'clock hour of Shatter the Darkness Live, I've got 5 points. One, that he's finite. Two, an ancient pagan deity. Three, incredible deception. Four, opposition. Five, AIDS and Abed, the ultimate antichrist goal when it comes to the attempted annihilation of Israel again. So let's dig in tonight. Let me give you two updates real quick. ShatterTheDarkness.net, the site is going to tell you about two conferences. Please don't forget, coming up in just about 10 days, August 27th, 28th, and the Omega Hour that is hosted by Minister Dante Fortson. I'm going to have him on this coming Sunday night. Yes, we have a Sunday night live program, so he'll be on with me as we discuss some of the Matthew 24 issues in the conference. October 1st and 2nd, the lineup is incredible, I believe. Tom Horn, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Jeffrey Ratt, and myself, Russ Dizdar. We're going to speak here in Canton, Ohio, and it is called the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. You can go to that website, shatterthedarkness.net. You can click on and get the actual website of the Omega Hour Conference in Las Vegas, or the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. Listen, that one, Supernatural Science, it's going to be so cutting edge. And we hope that you can come. And we hope that you'll be a part. Let me tell you also that we have the new series, Becoming Powerful in Prayer. If you're a believer in Christ, it's God's will, it's the potential, it's what can happen with our lives becoming very powerful. I just finished another one today, so there are two of the parts of the series up. You're Needed Now is one, and then The Privilege of Prayer is two. So we have another 5 or 6 or 7 to go. Who knows how many we'll do? The series Dark Rituals, Dark Powers will also have another one added late tonight, dealing with the Akashic Records. And where do people like Edgar Cayce and current remote viewers get their ability, non-human enhancements? Welcome to those who monitor the show. Welcome to those that are on the other side of the fence, and sometimes we get emails from you and you let us know what you think, what you feel, and what you're doing. And we just simply say we're here for one reason, motivated by the hand of God, motivated by the love of the living Christ. To the Muslims, to the Luciferians, to those who are seekers, there is a reason why Christ died on the cross, prophesied 700 years in advance. There's a reason why he rose from the dead, prophesied 1,000 years in advance. And I hope that you'll take notice tonight. Not only of the factors involved, but of the sheer, clear, clean message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, his monogenesis, the one and only Son of God, Son of Man, Emmanuel, God in human flesh, to go to a cross. Here's the words of God, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. The next verse says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save. God is after you to save you. And I hope you understand the meaning. Bottom line, bringing you into relationship, healing all the barriers, dealing with all the barriers. Sin, Satan, all of it. Tuesday night the 17th, this is about the territorial spirit. I was doing some study today concerning the Black Stone, and so I'm eager to deal with that Thursday night. I have a background dealing with a lot of exorcism, spiritual warfare issues, and I want you to know this, that in the context of spiritual warfare, the context of biblical teaching on spiritual warfare, the engagement of spiritual warfare, understanding Ephesians chapter 6, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wicked forces, the Greek word kosmokrator, that which is in the heavenly realms. So when I think in terms of demons that are inside of people, or of demon gods and goddesses that entrench themselves in tribes and small nations where idols are built and temples are built and human sacrifices offered, or some level of allegiance to the demon territorial god that then usually will attach to the objects, the devoted things. So I'm doing the studies and I'm seeing what looks like and is being told to me as far as archaeological study. The little figurine, the little idol of Allah. Looks like he's sitting in a chair in a way. Looks like there's a crescent moon across his chest. And please understand, when it deals with archaeological and historical origins of Allah, five things I want you to know tonight concerning Allah's origin issues, territorial presence. But let me read to you something from the book, The Islamic Invasion. Muslims threatened to kill the man that wrote the book, Robert Morey. Page 52. Under the title, A Muslim Taxi Driver, I'm going to quote the author's words in page 52-53. Quote, listen. During one trip to Washington, D.C., I got involved in a conversation with a Muslim taxi driver from Iran. When I asked him, where did Islam obtain its symbol of the crescent moon? He responded that it was an ancient pagan symbol used throughout the Middle East, and that adopting this symbol had helped Muslims to convert people throughout the Middle East. When I pointed out that the word Allah itself was used by the moon god cult in pre-Islamic Arabia, he agreed that this was the case. Then I pointed out that the religion and the Quran of Muhammad could be explained in terms of pre-Islamic culture, customs, and religious ideas. He agreed with this. He went on to explain that he was a university-educated Muslim who, at this point in his life, was attempting to understand Islam from a scholarly viewpoint. As a result, he had lost his faith in Islam. The significance, listen to the final part of the quote, the significance of the pre-Islamic source of the name Allah cannot be overestimated. Allah did not become the current concept of God in the Quran and among Muslims until the 7th century. Prior to all that, Allah was known as a territorial entity that had, like daughters and a son connected. There was a territory in which it operated, like Baal, like Nebo, like Shemosh, like Moloch, like the presence among the Mayans. We've got to understand in the fall of the human race that the presence of principalities, powers, rulers, cosmocrators, entities who have rejected God, fight against God, and are a part of an ongoing developing contrasted agenda. And that agenda is what's behind globalism, the shaking down or the sense of destabilization, and that feeling in the air, that sense in everybody's studies and research that ultimate chaos, catastrophic events are coming, including the issue Russia now backing Iran, Iran going ahead with the nuclear plant, Israel's determination to strike it. It's a hotbed. It is an absolute hotbed, well, of clear biblical proportions. And it is really biblical prophecy that God, the infinite, listen, God who already knows the beginning from the end, has given us advanced information about. And that includes the rise of what everybody knows is coming, the Antichrist. Does Islam have anything to do with that? We're going to talk about that also Wednesday and Thursday night. And I believe that it does. Will Islam play a major part in the end of days? Will Islam fall to the apocalypse of Antichrist? I believe absolutely so. Let me say this to all believers in Christ because of the mission God has. Listen, my mission is what God has called all nations to turn to the living Christ. That God has commanded that the good news of a redemption, where God doesn't condemn the world, but he's come to save it, come to reach it, come to rescue it. And that will continue to the day Christ returns. That's what this program is all about. And though we're getting into the issue, because we need to, there's going to be a major, major confrontation on the talk shows, on the airways, politically, all over New York, all over America, because of the clear insensitivity and the behind-the-scenes development of trying to put a major mosque, Islamic center, there close to ground zero. Incredible. Incredible. But this is not about the political battling. This is about your life. This is about where you are. This is about whether you know God or whether you don't. There is a vast and absolute total difference between the Quran, Muhammad, what it offers, and the Bible and God and Christ and the gift of eternal life. A vast, total, and complete difference. And here's what we're going to go over. Number one, when it comes to the attributes of Allah, number one, clearly finite, obviously in the territory, obvious, connected to in an ancient way, just like the other deities of the day. A presence that is revealed itself as a finite entity. Real, absolutely real, but territorial. Now, how does that occur when it comes to spiritual warfare and the presence of the dark side getting a grip on this side? It all begins when somebody is open, when somebody opens a door as they seek to get here, as they seek to get in lives, and then seek a family line, a tribal line, a national line. And will seek to guide those that engage it, well, in the development of the idols that were made, just like the idol of the moon god, Allah. Everything in all of archaeology, of all of history, of the scholars that know pre-Islamic history, Allah is the moon god. A clear territorial presence, worshipped by some. With over 360 other deities, gods and goddesses all around. Now, it wasn't until like after 600 sometime, 632, I believe, when Muhammad came, after rejecting Judaism, after rejecting Christ, there's this wide openness. Well, in a life like that, there was an engagement. A presence engaged him. Anybody reading the stories can read about his passing out, foaming at the mouth, hearing an entity speak to him. The writings of the Quran would be written on sticks and pieces of anything possible around when he would wake up. Now, this engagement was clearly the expanding presence and agenda of this entity, the moon god. Ultimately, during the revelations that Muhammad began to get, and see, I have no problem with the fact that he got revelations. So did those under Moloch. So did those under Baal. You can go around the world and entities by the hundreds of thousands have made themselves known. That's true of the Mayans. The untold story of the Mayans is the same principle, but even worse as far as history because of the vast, incredible bloodshed, human sacrifice. But that's evident also in the actual development of Muhammad receiving the revelations that came from the entity Allah. There was a need to destroy all the idols, the 360 some other pagan deity idols, and the people that were connected to it. There was a immediate demand of surrender to Allah or be killed. It was all about bloodshed. That continues to this day in the Sudan. Anybody that wants to answer the question, why do Muslims kill hundreds of thousands in the Sudan, demanding their conversion or their slaughter? Has this occurred in the Philippines? Are there imams in London that declare that unless the Brits eventually surrender to Allah, that they too, the infidel, must have his or her head cut off? So if you're going to read the Quran, read all of it. If you're going to read about the violence, read all about it. But if you're going to understand Allah, you will never understand unless you go to pre-Islamic history of the entity, the moon god. And that only by the 7th century, with Muhammad, did there become a declaration that he's the only one, and that all others must submit and bow, and that all others must be eliminated if they don't. Now, that's the historical side. That's the archaeological side. But I got to give you number two. Number two is simply this. Clearly, Allah was a pagan deity. Please understand, there were many of them, as we said, well over 300. Some say 360. All kinds of pagan deities. Now, you can find this all throughout the Old Testament. Now, it's a very strange thing that Muslims today try to associate Allah as if Abraham worshipped Allah, as if parts of the Old Testament were references to Allah. Once again, when we come down to the biblical revelation, in the Hebrew language, there is no Allah. There is no Allah in the Bible. There is no prophecy of the coming of Muhammad. There is no declaration of the Quran. There is no recognition of the Quran. You and I, as Americans and Canadians and Europeans and Russians and others that are engaged worldwide with the radical growth of Islam, do you want to understand? It's one thing to say, okay, you just don't know what you believe in. Go to a mosque somewhere and begin to learn and come under submission. What is it that you come under submission? Will submission to Allah help clean up your life? Well, they don't believe in drugs. They don't believe in many things. There will be a cleaning up of your life and some structure and attachment to something. Can I ask you the question? What is the cause of Allah? I mean, what is the will of Allah? Wednesday night, we're going to go over this in a very clear way because Islam, dealing with submission, I'm going to say this, deals with shut up and submit and do the will of Allah. But what is the will of Allah? I want you to hear now, and you can check it out yourself, look into it yourself. It is absolutely in contrast to the will of God and God's will for the world. God's will to save, God's will to heal, God's will to deliver, God's will that not even one human being lose their soul. I mean, when you think in terms of the mission Christ gave to go into all the world and make disciples. Now let's think in terms of contrast. I've gone out over the years, and I've been able to lead a number of thousands of individuals to Christ. Hundreds on a personal level, one-on-one. I mean, a level where, you know, I'm talking to them. Listen, it could be any kind of background. It didn't make any difference. Biker, businessman, prostitute, president of a bank. It didn't make any difference. Because the clarity of the gospel is that Jesus died for the sum total of the human race. That God wills that all men everywhere be summoned and come to repentance. You read in Timothy chapter 2 that in praying for all men, this is good and pleases God our Savior that wills, the Greek words, pas anthropos, all humanity. To the Arab listening now, God wills that you come to Christ. God wills that you be saved. God wills that you come to a relationship with God as God the Father would embrace you and love you and care for you and give you the gift of eternal life to where you can know God. Not so with a pagan deity. A pagan deity is going to have everything to do with submission, with, in demonology, in the study of territorial entities, celestial entities, the B'nai Elohim of the Old Testament, wherever there's fallen angelic and demonic presence, you've got to understand they never begin knocking on somebody's door saying exactly who they are. It has everything to do with telling them looking and assessing, then making themselves known. Allah in every single way shows himself not only to be finite, but like a pagan deity, the same way Moloch, Baal, Shemosh, and all the others did. In every single way, the people that engaged the moon god dealt with the moon god as a pagan deity, dealt with the moon god as one among many, dealt with the moon god as a finite entity in a locality. A locality. Now here's what I want you to think through. When you think in terms of Muslims, even here in the United States, pointing towards Mecca and bowing down in that direction, why do you think that's true? See, early this morning I prayed. Later on in the day I prayed. Outside, when I was outside, I was doing some prayer. Prior to coming back down to the studio, upstairs where the larger picture windows are, you know, I pray. I pray for nations that I know that there are individuals downloading and listening. I pray across the United States in areas. There's times I pray for individuals. But I don't point in a direction. I don't have to face north, south, east, or west to kind of acknowledge the locality of God, the presence of where God is at. You've got to understand the omnipresence of God. It doesn't make any difference whether I'm down in Nashville, down in Las Vegas here in 10 days, in Canton, Ohio, wherever I'm at, whatever direction. See, Jesus said it. It's clear, John's Gospel, chapter 4. God seeks worshipers, those in relationship, that will be in that relationship in spirit and in truth. Not at this mountain, not in this direction, not in that. So Muslims must point in a particular direction. You know why? Now here's a revelation about this. A territorial entity is not omnipresent. A territorial entity sinks its teeth into a territory, onto objects, into the lives of people, onto the temples that they guide individuals to make. Maybe even this entity is attached to the black stone We'll give deeper revelation on Thursday night concerning the Black Stone and the way the demonic works. I mean, demons can be attached to objects. All Satanists, real Luciferians, know this. They can be summoned, attached to objects. Idols can be made in which the demon god or goddess that is engaged can be attached to, or demons underneath the rule of a territorial spirit can be attached to idols, devoted things, objects in which their presence emanates from. Yes, an energy. Yes, an ability to infect and to bring thought and to bring involuntary, I would say at first, thought and feeling. The goal is drawing people to the entity. And so if a demonic presence, a fallen angel, in some way is attached to an object, then from that object, a manifested point of contact, it can draw people. There can be an energy. Look on YouTube videos. Do a research of the Black Stone. Notice the gathering. I'm going to suggest that we all look into it by Thursday night, whether the territorial entity, the Moon God, is attached to the Black Stone in that area, in that place. Now, understand territorial spirits, in a sense, up in the air over a territory, they will lay claim to the ground to influence the politics, so the law is part of the territorial spirit's rule, so that the religion, the land, all of it comes under the sharp, hard rule of the territorial entity. This is true of the Prince of Persia. We'll deal with that Friday night. In the rule and the reign of that ruling presence, the thing Friday night we're going to look into is that ruling presence, was over all the current area. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, all of the area has always had. And it has grown and it has gotten stronger to the degree of those who submit, to the degree of those who open up, to the degree of those who build mosques, the temples. Does the territorial presence not only sink its teeth in, but bring many hundreds of thousands of other demonic entities to be a part of the territorial spirit's agenda? Now, what is the agenda? The agenda of Allah reveals that it is finite, that it is a pagan deity. And I'm going to tell you right now that point number three, that the Allah project, that the Quran, that this territorial entity, as all other demonic entities, by the way, I'm going to say this very clearly, either Allah is absolutely God like Muhammad in the 7th century and all Muslims today since would say, or he's clearly a demonic territorial entity as seen in the origins of the Moon God in the pagan development. That brings me to the third point tonight. Listen, being somebody that has dealt with demon-possessed people for years, I've heard them, the demons, scream, yell. In engaging them, I've always seen them lie, deceive. Many times in getting into people's lives, that's how they get into lives. They lie and they deceive and they seduce. And the Bible predicts in the end of days, prior to the rise, direct rise of Antichrist, that the world's going to be saturated with hundreds of millions of seducing spirits. I'll say again, please mark it down. Lock it into your thinking and your research. Demon, territorial, gods and goddesses of the past, they do not die. Even in the Old Testament spiritual warfare battles, Josiah, wherever they've closed the door on Moloch, Baal, and other deities, wherever they have stopped the human sacrifice and the demonization from territorial entities. Listen, the entity didn't go away. All the 2012ers, all the Mayan researchers need to understand something. Every one of the demonic entities that were there during the days of thousands and thousands of it was a human sacrificing factory down there. And nobody's telling the truth. The spirits that were engaged, summoned, and came through, they're all down there, connected to the ground, the blood-soaked ground, connected to the blood-soaked bricks in the blood-soaked temples. They're all there. They're the ones in a satanic synchronicity guiding people back to reopen the doors. Please understand that when it comes to a territorial entity located in a place, that it must have many, many, many other spirits underneath it, under its command, just like in dealing with demon-possessed people. In almost every case, it's not just one demon. In many cases, especially with satanic ritual abuse, there is a ruling spirit, and there may be 10, 20, 40, 100 other demons under the ruling spirit's authority and agenda and structure. Under a territorial spirit. And let me tell you this, there's territorial spirits all across America, in cities and so forth. All around the world, there are still territorial entities, and the territorial entity in this structure, the satanic structure, yes, they are loyal to and under the authority of the fallen cherub himself. And they have a part to play. And the closer we get to the end of days, the more you're going to see the territorial entity Allah's connection to the development of Antichrist and the goal of the annihilation of Israel. You're going to see the Mayan connection of influencing the world towards a world ruler and a coming release of massive demonic presence. You're going to find that as the dark side ascends in the frog in the kettle approach, in the burst approach of the red horse, the white horse, the pale horse, the black horse, in that development where God gives the pictures in advance. That's why we need that massive, massive prophetic revelation. That's why every single believer needs to understand right now that the entity Allah is real, that it has a real grip on those who submit. If you listen to a territorial demon, no different, more powerful than a local, I mean, just a demon that wants to get in a life where a person opens the door, gets into a ritual. How does a person get a demon into their life? They open doors. Every demon we've ever engaged has a name, has an ability, usually has someone above them, even outside of them in a region. Please understand, territorial presence builds more and more under their ranks to cover the area because they are not omnipresent. They must have extension. Does this mean that Allah, the ancient moon god, possibly, literally, physically attached, spiritually attached to the black stone, operating there territorially, extending under its rule, under its command, many, 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 many other demonic entities, has a synchronized and a kind of connection, link, with every mosque, everywhere one is built. I want you to hear me now on a spiritual warfare basis. It's what I have been involved in for years and years. Mapping, praying, looking at the structure of Ephesians 6, understanding in the air, in the atmosphere, to the ground location of temples. It doesn't make any difference. Please understand. I know people are going to throw rocks at me. I know people are going to probably threaten me. But a mosque is no different than ancient temples of the past. A mosque will have, in every case, entities attached where the presence, the power emanating from the entities can be sensed. In my discussions with Muslim students from Saudi Arabia and Iran here in the University of Aquinaria, when they would describe to me going to the mosque, because they came to our Bible studies, they watched us as we closed our eyes and with joy in our faces worshiped the living Christ, the living God, where God's presence was all over us, where there was an interaction. They could tell that it was supernatural. They can tell that there was an interaction. I asked them about their interaction with Allah. And in every case, they would say, well, yeah, back at the mosque, you could feel something. Back at the mosque, you can sense something. And I agree. See, we've been involved in cases where there are areas where satanic ritual sites are. Other pagan deities that are worshipped. Guaranteed, the spirits are there. Guaranteed, to the degree of their attachment, legal attachment to the ground, to temples, to the individuals that are wide open to them and submitting to their doctrine, their teaching, their communication, will be also an emanation of the presence. New York City, if they allow that mosque, Islamic center, whatever it's going to be, you need to understand that there will be a spiritual presence connected to it, attached to it, involving itself in the lives of those who submit to Allah. The lesser demons, the goal under a territorial spirit is to guide individuals to pay homage to submit to give yourself to the territorial entity, the demons helping Allah, the spirits helping Allah, attached and assigned to every single mosque in the world. There is presence. There is power. There's something that literally affects the actual worshipers. The spirits under Allah, of course, are in obedience to Allah, and the entire goal that's behind the will of Allah. I'm going to ask you a question tonight during some studies, if you want to do some studies up to Wednesday night and Thursday night. Is the will of Allah to expand worldwide the development, because in the future Antichrist is going to need troops, individuals, that once an edict is given, they will kill Israelis anywhere in the world, that they will go after and kill the infidel anywhere in the world? Has anybody read the Muslim scholars? Has anybody read the Muslim scholars that believe in the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam, rather, the one that's going to come only when there's enough bloodshed, the one that Ahmadinejad believes in, the one that wants to create the massive bloodshed to make the way for this Muslim world ruler, who by definition and attribute, description and profile, is the same that the Bible calls the Antichrist? Is there a global agenda that will help accomplish the ultimate and final role of the Antichrist? And I'm going to say yes, and we'll spell it out more Wednesday night and Thursday night. I'm going to say that point number one, Allah is finite. Point number two, an ancient pagan deity. By every measure of archaeology, history, the literature written, the individuals who engaged, absolutely pagan deity. Three, the incredible power of deception. I want you to think about the Quran for a moment. I want you to understand, and again, if that's what you believe in, if you're a Satanist, if you are a pagan, if you worship a goddess, listen, everybody's going to choose You know, what you believe in, it's what you've got, what you reap, you know, sow in the midst of your worship is what you reap. You better make sure what it is you believe in. And if you say you're an atheist, you don't believe anything, then, you know, you've got to deal with origins and endings in your life and meaning and purpose and afterlife. So point number three, Allah has brought up with it massive deception. The Quran is absolutely a document written in contrast to, in conflict with, and in attack of the totality of the Old and New Testaments. It absolutely rejects the Bible in every single way. It absolutely rejects all the message of the Bible. It absolutely rejects the message of the prophets, of the angels of God, of Christ, of the apostles, of the totality of Scripture. It absolutely rejects, and then, like in a cult, every cult does this, a rejection of all the Bible says about Christ, and then a presentation of a lesser, de-deified, non-saving Christ. And the Quran does that. In everything that it teaches, and everything that it unleashes. Don't forget there's one man alone, only one Muhammad behind the writing of the Quran. Inspired spiritually, yes. Could it have been the angel Gabriel? No. Contrast the angelic visitations of Daniel, sent by God Almighty, in the prophetic revelations of the coming of Messiah, the coming of the end of days. There's no connection between the prophecies of Daniel and the Quran other than the predictions of coming deceptions. The Quran is either a book directly of God or of demonic entity, demonic spiritual inspiration. The Bible and the Quran are 100% opposites. That brings me to point four. The opposition, the issue of opposition, everything in the Quran, the development of Islam throughout the last 1,400 years, massive opposition. Listen, I've read and I've seen in the Quran very clearly, anybody can look at it, cut off the head of the infidel, cut off the fingertips. I mean, we're talking about violence. We're talking about violence. Submit or violence. That's been the action worldwide. That's the action now. That's the threatened action of the coming future. The opposition is big. Well, point five is whether or not does this aid Antichrist? And we're going to say yes. We're at the end of the hour already, and so let me say we love you in Christ. And Jesus Christ did give his heart and life for you. Come to the living Christ, to a living relationship with God. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Good night.